All right, everyone, welcome back to the Charge Running Podcast. I am Coach Justin Horniger here with Coach Donovan Stewart. Coach Donovan, how you doing?
Amazing. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about strength training for runners. And I don't know about you, Donovan, but I think that's kind of outside of like your typical running conversation, that's probably like the question that most runners have or the concern that most runners have is how to strength train. What is your kind of background? Because I want to talk about that. What's your background as far as like strength training goes and just like developing that plan?
Absolutely. So I'm a personal trainer. I've been certified personal trainer for 8 years. And my focus is on getting people strong enough to go out for a run. So I have certifications in kettlebell training, body weight training, mobility, foam rolling, anything that you could almost imagine that could happen in a gym, I'm most likely certified in. And it's because I'm very heavy into understanding the science to support people and their movement. Mm. So for when it comes down to running, I wanted to learn as much as I can for the strength aspect to bring into a runner's world and support them in having the strong joints and strong muscles so they can go out for a run and feel that much easier.
This is fun because I feel like we come from like two different places on this topic. So like I talked about before, I ran in high school, but we did like zero strength work outside of just like your typical runner's core stuff, like planks, push-ups on your at like the end of your stretches that you do. And then I got to college and we started lifting for strength and I was like so taken aback by what we were doing. And I was worried about like gaining bulk and not understanding that like running 80 miles a week, you're probably not going to gain any bulk whatsoever. Yeah. What's kind of the, is that like the number one pushback you get from like when you talk about strength training with runners?
100%. It's people think that when you're strength training, your shoulders are going to get big and you're going to gain all this size, but it's so hard to do that when you're running. And our bodies have so many, we have three different types of muscles. And when we're putting our focus on one of them that is purely endurance, it doesn't grow in size. Mm. So if your strength training is very personalized to what your goals are, if you're training for a marathon, ultra marathon, or even a Spartan race, if your training is personalized to that, you're not going to grow in size whatsoever. You might even stay the same weight and your physique is just going to change and your shoulders are going to not get big. Your legs might grow a little bit in size, but that size is going to support you in your running. And yeah, it's size is barely a thing if you're doing it personalized towards you.
Yeah. And I think the number one thing that comes up with strength training is just injury prevention. That's what we always talk about. It's the idea that we're strengthening the muscles to complement our running as opposed to take away from our running. What do you think? So say I come to you, I have never lifted before. I've run a lot. I'm kind of beat up a lot. Like what would be the number one thing you would try to sit me down and have me do first when I take on this strength training plan?
The number one thing I would have you do is stand on one leg. And I always get people with this one. Whenever I meet a new runner, in person or virtually, and I'm going to develop a plan for them, I have them stand on one leg with their eyes open and with their eyes closed. And this supports me in finding the whole foundation of their movement history without them even telling me. And it supports me develop a plan for them. Because I can see how their ankles move. I can see how their hips are moving and even how their shoulders are, because a lot of people, their shoulders are imbalanced. And the moment they stand on one leg, I can see it. And from there, I introduce almost every runner I train, I introduce them to a kettlebell. Have you ever heard of you know what a kettlebell is?
I know what a kettlebell is, yeah.
Yeah, so I introduce them to a kettlebell because one, it's so unique, just like running, and it's asymmetrical. So you can do it on one side of the body and you don't have to do anything on the other side of the body. And that's essentially running. One side is stable and the other side is mobile. And that I believe is the start of all training. It's introduction to the kettlebell and can you stand on one leg and do it really well?
I like stability work a lot. I think that's what's helped me like personally in my running, because I have like my hips are always a little bit wonky, but when I work on my stability and strength, like hip strengthening and just general stability, like that's when I feel my strongest as a runner.
Yeah, if you can't stand, if you're not stable, your running is good. Your body's going to figure it out from somewhere. And when your body is compensating to find that stability, that's when injury happens. If your ankle is not stable, your knee is going to try to figure out how to do that job. And then there's knee pains. And that's why a lot of people have that misconception that running causes knee pains. It's not true. It's unstable hips and unstable ankles that causes knee pains. It has nothing to do with running. It just not excels, but promotes it.
The amount of times that my uncle has told me that running is going to ruin my knees eventually is just astronomical.
It's mind-blowing. It's so mind-blowing. People really believe that, but we're meant for it. We're so born to run.
Yeah, and like that's the thing, right? It's about like doing those little things to support our running and like actually taking time to like work on our mobility, which you know, when we're into running and if we don't know any better, we don't really know what to do there and we don't think about it. We think, oh, running is hurting me as opposed to I can fix this. I can.
Yeah, honestly, I've had this past week, I had someone say the same thing. It says everything got shut down and they couldn't go to the gym anymore. They picked up running and it's easy. It's just one foot in front of the other. And this person was a very avid gym goer. And this person told me like, all right, now I'm getting all these injuries and I'm going to blame running. And I sat there, I was like, no, it's most likely not running. Running highlighted your injuries that you were developing in the gym. And running could support you in one, you found them and now we can mobilize and teach the body how to get back to how you were moving when you were a kid. Because that's the goal. For every year we're away from being a kid, we want to be a kid again.
You want to just like have fun out there. Like that's what I remember from running as a kid. It's like you weren't even thinking about it. You're just like going from point A to point B.
Yeah, it's that simple. It's just, it should be fun. I was running today and I was thinking that. I was like, I just want to have fun. I don't care about anything else. I just want to move.
Yeah. Move, not feel pain. That's the important thing.
Pain-free living. And that's why I really believe every runner should be on some type of strength training plan. Or even if it's not even a plan of just going into the gym, picking up something heavy and putting it down a couple of times. I saw a video recently of Mo Farah in his strength training, and he was doing Olympic lifting. He was using a barbell and he had some weight on that bar. Mo Farah, he's a skinny dude. And he was moving this bar and I was like, this is the stuff that the public gets to see. Because everyone thinks these ultra marathon runners, these elite marathoners and 10Kers, all they do is run. They know they do a lot of mobility. They do a lot in the gym. There's I forget this guy's name, but he's training for the Olympic trials coming up. And he's putting not his runs on social media and YouTube, but he's actually putting his gym sessions, which are about an hour and a half. And it's some quality stuff. It's quality work. I'm like,
That's what crystallized it so much for me, was seeing those Galen Robs and those Mo Farah videos that they used to post back when Nike Oregon Project was around. And like, that's what made me like, all right, I can like actually start to lift heavy in the gym, because like these guys are out there, they're running 100 miles a week fast and they still look like runners. They're just fit. And I think like that's the name of the game. And I honestly, like when I lift, I focus on those heavy lifts more than anything. I do my stabilizing work, I do some core, and then I lift heavy a little bit.
Yeah. And I know what I had a client and I supported this client to completing a marathon. And this person's they've dabbled in strength training before. And this person's schedule is hectic. So we were able to train about once or twice a week in the gym. And this person would try to get as many miles as they can. Maybe a 5K every other day. Maybe this person's also done 6 or 7 marathons. I was like, all right, so you know what you're getting into. If you know what your miles
are. You know what this is about.
Yeah. So like my focus is not to support you and pulling you out of the door. It's just, I'm going to get you strong to finish this marathon. And they finished the marathon. I spoke to the person, like, all right, how'd you feel? And they told me, like, yeah, it wasn't my fastest marathon, but it was the easiest marathon I've ever done. And I wasn't even putting ridiculous amount of miles in. Mm-hmm. I was like, please explain. Like, what do you mean it was the easiest? It's like, they came down the finish line smiling. They were feeling great. They were feeling strong throughout and not sore 2 days, 3 days, 4 days after. And that's what strength training really does. It supports that non-soreness and the ability of just that pounding on the pavement over and over again.
Well, I think it's fun. There's been like actual studies that lifting more like makes you a more efficient runner too. So like not only, well, it's that stabilization factor of it. It's like, it does make you injury free and it does make you in a better runner because you're more efficient, which leads to less injuries, which means you're going to have a little bit more fun when you're out there.
100%. The stability aspect. That's why I love the kettlebells, because a kettlebell, there's so many different things you can do with it. Mm. And I love throwing in anti-rotation exercises for my runners. So for instance, a kettlebell swing is the biggest anti-rotation exercise I believe in. And
writing that down.
Please do. And it's so important because you're teaching the body how to, one, have something change your center of gravity and bring stability to the kettlebell versus having it fly out of your hands or hitting you in the groin or hitting you in the head or wherever it goes. It teaches you how to root yourself into the ground and stabilize. And for women, I have them, women get scared when I bring out the kettlebells because they're big. I don't use the small 4-pounder.
They're intimidating looking.
They're intimidating. Like you see a kettlebell and they're like, oh no. And I bring it out and I show them and I'm moving it around like, this is a kettlebell. Let me introduce you to it. He's very friendly. And then I have him doing it. It takes about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month for some people. And they start moving the kettlebell. And all right, this is easy. And it feels great doing it. It feels invigorating. It's like, yes, I can move a kettlebell. And it's scary. I had a client. She went to the gym with her boyfriend. And I taught her how to do kettlebell swings. She went to the gym with her boyfriend. And she went to go find the kettlebells. And he's like, oh, I'll teach you how to move the kettlebells. The guy grabs the heaviest one. And then she grabs another one. And it's too light. And the guy is like, all right, it's pretty heavy. So yeah, you can use it. And she's moving around like it was a pillow. And she said she felt great afterwards. And it's mentally supporting and obviously physically as well. Mm. And it's so important for the legs. And I could talk about it for days.
It just feels good to feel strong. Mm-hmm.
There's no person I've ever met that has dropped something purposely heavy and felt upset about it.
Like that's a good way of putting it. I like that. So let's get back to like designing programs. I think the second next question that people ask is, when should I lift? So should I lift, on days where I'm running hard? Should I lift on days when I'm running easy? What's your general thoughts as far as like designing that?
I try to have people, it depends on the goal, of course, but I try to have people lift every day. And every day doesn't mean you're going to go hard every day. It's just like our running. We can have a maintenance workout or a recovery workout using weights. So for instance, going out for a run earlier in the day, let's say you're going to go run a 5K, pretty hard. Come back a couple hours or in the evening and going for moderate weights, maybe higher reps to support the endurance of the conditioning of your muscles. And maybe throw in a couple plyometric exercises in there to keep the power up and the speed up. And yeah, try to combine everything. I think eliminating one aspect of training doesn't need to happen. It's just figuring out what's perfect for you. It's like a science project. Is this going to work for the first month? And if it does, we stick with it. If not, all right, let's move the puzzle piece around and see how it works next time. And if you see my programs, I have essays on every day for people to see what worked, what didn't, how did they feel. Now, I'm a huge talker, and I'll just talk to them the whole time, and I'm taking notes like, all right, this workout was too easy because they were talking to me.
Yeah. I love that explanation though, because I think sometimes like we, so say you just like, you print out a plan, you're going to go do this. It doesn't explain like why we're doing certain things, like whether that's a training plan for running or a training plan for lifting. It just kind of gives us these exercises. So having that like explanation, I think, is super crucial.
Yeah. And one thing I've learned, I don't normally explain a lot when it comes to people because they don't care. That's the mind-blowing part. A lot of people just don't care. But when they do care and they ask you, I'm ready with my book to explain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. People, like coming from New York City, people just want to get it done with. They don't care about all the fluff in between. But moving out to Orange County, it's a little bit different over here in Southern California. And people want to understand what, why, and the how. And I think runners are always different. They always want to understand what the reasoning of it all is.
Yeah, and I think that just comes from so much of our like run training is explained, like you do tempo runs, it's going to benefit this. You do strides, it's going to benefit this. So like you take that, you boil it down to strength training. It's the same, similar philosophies anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the same thing, honestly. It's a long run, I would compare to like an EMOM or every minute on the minute type of workout, or like all the intervals that we can do for a run, you can do the same thing in the gym using some weights.
That's a good way to put it. So we have this plan, right? Say someone is time crunch. They're wondering where they're going to get the time to lift. They are still running, but you know, they're putting more emphasis on the running than they're lifting. What would be your kind of suggestion for getting the most out of their lifting with, say, like, say you have 20 minutes three times a week?
Ooh, 20 minutes is more than enough.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say 20 minutes. Oh no. Oh no.
That's 20 minutes is great. Honestly, that's how much I train for my weight training at this point. Having the plan, having 20 minutes, hit the essentials. Like, all right, we need to squat. We need to move our hips in a hinging motion to work our glutes and hamstrings.
I'm a big fan of the squat.
Yeah. It's life. And I would hit those for the legs, some type of balance exercise, and some midline, some core training, so belly button all the way around to the spine training, and incorporate that with upper body. And that could happen doing a Tabata protocol, which is 4 minutes. It's you could do two exercises or as many as you need. It's 4 minutes, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, high intensity. You could do an EMOM, which is every minute on the minute. Or if you're feeling really jazzy, you could do as many as possible. And that one, you could get really fancy with it. I'm thinking of one right now for my clients later today. And let's say you have, and you want to incorporate the running, if you want to as well, start off with a mile. Like, all right, hit 1 mile. And then you have, let's do 50 squats, 20 push-ups, a couple 20 kettlebell swings, and then a 200-meter run. How many times can you do that in 20 minutes? Some people could do one. Some people could do five. And that'll be a good way to gauge your fitness, and you're on that time crunch. And if you don't finish it, there's always next time.
I like how you think about that. That makes it seem a lot simpler than I think we make lifting in our head be this like super complicated thing, but that does sound very simple when you say it out like that.
I try.
What do you think of like your classical runner's core? So say like, I'm trying to think of like my classic core workout. It's like planks, push-ups, lunges, like stuff like that. Where does that fit in? And like, say you're doing strength training on the side, where does stuff like that fit into your general plan?
That's the warm up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, using core and the midline in that aspect, so like ground-based movements, I would throw it in as a warm up to engage. And I think the more efficient way is to train your core for your running is doing anti-rotation work. So like I said, like the kettlebell swing, or taking something from the left side of your body to the right side of your body, doing it fast. So your body has to stop the rotation and you have to squeeze your core and your upper body to prevent you from falling. I think that's more efficient than doing exercises on the ground, because when we run, we're not on the ground. Like, we're not on our backs. We're not on our elbows. We're standing. So doing exercises when we're standing to train our belly button to our spine is going to be very supportive. That's why there's nothing wrong with doing the planks, push-ups, and bicycle crunches, the lunges. There's nothing wrong with that. But throwing in a little something to get the anti-rotation, it changes the game tenfold.
Nice. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's just like a running warm-up. You do those like simple exercises, those simple runs, and then you move on from there. Let's talk a little bit about mobility work, because you mentioned that kind of early on in the podcast. Like, for you, what does mobility mean? Like, what are you looking for when you're writing a mobility plan? So say you're writing a plan for Coach Justin, who has chronic hip issues and his chain is always messed up and he always has tight glutes. Like, what is your kind of number one mobility like plan? Like, how are you structuring that?
Absolutely. So I'll define to you what mobility means to me. It's the combination of strength and flexibility that equals mobility. And mobility is the act of doing something. So I would start off to see how your joints move. How well are your joints moving?
Very stiff.
Yeah, so I'd want to see that. To increase your range of motion is always going to be the start. And also the mind-body connection. Like, a lot of this is, so everyone that's listening, I challenge you to do this. Lift up only your big toe. That's a lot of people are going to sit there and try. They're like, I can't do it. I can't move just my big toe. And it's because our environment, so many different factors, but that's a mind body connection. Like, we should be able to move our toes the same way we move our fingers, but we wear shoes and socks all day. We forget how. And I would introduce very simple things like that. How to bring a little bit more awareness to your glute, one specific area around your IT band, your TFL, your psoas, so muscles around that area, to incorporate them more into your running and do exercises and then have you apply them right away. So I'll do, there's one of my favorite stretches to re-engage your glutes. And the moment you feel something, you might get a cramp because your brain doesn't know how to use those muscles. So all those electrical signals going to the area is going to cause a cramp. It's a great thing. It sucks for you, but it's awesome for the coach. Because, like, yes, you figure something out and then go run. Because now your body wants to use it. And it's like, all right, I got a new muscle. This is going to be easier now. And that moment, like, I get so excited because seeing that for people, it's like you're finding something new about yourself.
Yeah, it's true. Like, so just to kind of tell you like my personal story with mobility, like, I've always had kind of a tight sciatic, like, especially in college, because I was running more than I was ever used to and I wasn't big into mobility work yet. And like, part of my personal journey in my running was learning that, like, stretching isn't necessarily going to make that better, but mobility work and especially like hamstring and glute strength work is what's going to allow for more, like, I don't like to use flexibility because it is more, I like to think of it as more mobility because it's flexibility in motion is kind of how I always think about it. But that stuff is going to make you not only make your glutes and your hamstrings stronger, but it's also going to make them a little more supple. So it's not squeezing on that sciatic so much that you're having like that nerve pain up and down your leg. And that was the biggest like light bulb moment for me. It was like, all right, so like static stretching is going to help this. But if I do some strength work, if I do some single leg RDLs and keep going with that, it's going to get a lot better.
Absolutely. Oh, RDLs, classic. Yeah. And you said it best. It's, you want to become as supple as you can. You know the Bruce Lee quote, you want to be like water. You pour water into a pot, it becomes the pot. Water could crash or it could flow. You want to be like water, and our body is made of water. So we want to be able to flow as much as we can. And when it doesn't flow, that's when injuries happen.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's round it out. So say you've mastered this beginning strength plan that you laid out. So I mastered this beginner strength program that you laid out to me. What is kind of the next step? Once I get used to that beginner strength, I'm comfortable with the kettlebell, I'm looking strong, I'm feeling strong. What's my next step to maintaining or even like more advanced kind of strength training?
Yeah. So after that, the initial program, I introduced more complexity for your movement. So I like to call this playing the violin, a little fine tuning of the body, because our bodies are always changing. And just because we've quote unquote perfected and mastered that phase, we're in a brand new phase of our life. So with the kettlebell, let's say you've mastered the basics, the swing, the squat, and the overhead press. Those are my basics for people. But there's so much in between now. So, all right, now we got to train. How can you get explosiveness out of the shoulder? How can you get explosiveness to instant deceleration and create more real life scenarios using weights? The most real life scenario is having someone throw something at you and moving out of the way. So can you do your kettlebell moving sideways? You're moving your kettlebell swing and turning sideways. And I would introduce that more complexity, upper body and lower body movements. And I would also intensify the mobility training as well. So have more versus single joint movements that, like I said, focusing on the hip. Now, how can we train the hip and the knee at the same time, or hip, knee, and shoulder at the same time? And how can we move our spine and only our spine compared to spine and shoulder together? So I would, and it comes down to the personalization of it. So for you talking about the sciatica, I would put a lot of focus into your hips and your ankles and engage that in exercises like in sitting in the squat and having you do certain things in a squat or isometrics in a squat per se. So I change it up as we go. So it's never the same and you're always progressing.
Yeah, I think that's, and it's just like with running, right? You're always progressing. You're always working towards a goal. And I like what you said, like our body is always changing. And I think that brings us to our kind of final point is, because I think sometimes, I know for me personally, we always want to like, if we come to training with an injury and that injury gets better and now we're in the clear, now all of a sudden that strength training starts to kind of fall back by the wayside a little bit. So our body is always changing though. So if things are feeling good, we need to keep on it. We need to make sure that we still kind of work some of that into our training. We can't just kind of, oh, great, it fixed me. Bye-bye strength training. I'm just going to run miles now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed a lot of people, a lot of runners go through that. A lot of runners, because it's like, all right, we're doing this to supplement because of our injury. But we got rid of it. It's working. Don't get rid of the strength training. Don't get rid of it. Even if, yes, you can always tone it back, but having your foundation exercises, the squat, the hinge, which is like a deadlift or a glute bridge, the overhead press, some type of push-up and some type of pull-up, and some type of row. Don't lose those. You'll be doing them until you're 80 years old. And
until you're 100. Strong.
100, seriously. I work with people in their 70s and 80s and I have them squatting and I'm going to start teaching them how to kettlebell swing. It takes time because they didn't do it when they were young, but doing it when you're young or 20s, 30s, whenever, your retirement plan, when you're older, it's going to feel amazing. No limitations.
Right? Well, that's the thing. We don't want to be retired and like bedbound, right? We want to be retired and like live our best lives at that moment.
I can't even imagine. Like, I want to be retired and go hike a huge mountain, put my name on it.
Yeah, I can't decide if I want to retire on the beach or retire to like Flagstaff. You know, it's a big debate in my life.
But see, this is why I moved to California. Because you have you a little bit of both.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I can drive to the beach and then drive to a mountain all in the same day.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury in Kansas City, unfortunately.
Always invited. Always invited.
Hey, I'm going to take you up on that one of these days. All right, Coach Donovan, thanks for joining. As always, that was a great talk. We learned so much today.
Yeah, and I have loads to share when it comes to strength training and mobility for runners. That's what I love doing. It obviously brings me a lot of joy. And when it clicks for people, it really changes the game for running. And a lot of people miss out. Because have you ever seen Ryan Hall?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ryan Hall does not look like Ryan Hall anymore.
No. And he deprived himself. And he was also very injured. And the moment he found a new passion for running, having that strength training, that aspect of it. And it's a beautiful thing. Because if you're running and a tree falls, you want to be able to move the tree on off your trail so you can run the trail easier next time, or at least jump over it.
The Ryan Hall stuff is interesting to me because for those of you that don't know, Ryan Hall is like the unofficially the fastest American marathoner because he did it at Boston, which was as you know, it's a point-to-point course and there's a tailwind, but he ran 204 low, I want to say. I forget his official time, but like really fast. But like you said, Donovan, he was always injury prone. And I wonder if he found this like weight training that he's apparently very good at, if he found it earlier in his career, and obviously something he coaches Sarah Hall too, is one of the probably gonna be top three American runners at the trials. And like, if he would have found that kind of like fountain of youth earlier in his career, it's a big what if for me of what would have happened.
Yeah. And I think the running world is changing right now because of that. And I think Ryan Hall definitely changed the game for a lot of people. Is having the weight training mixed in, it's gonna change the running universe.
Yeah, for sure. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the pod. Coach Casey's gonna put out a blog about strength training also over on the Charge Running blog. Look for that down in the show notes if you want a little bit of a reminder, a quick recap of what to look for in your strength training program. But as always, I'm Coach Justin here with Coach Donovan. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week and charge on.
Charge on!